Psalms chapter 102. Again, it is a wonderful joy and blessing to be back at the Great Bible Baptist Church here in Byesville, Ohio. I'll be forever grateful for that day when God allowed my path to cross with Dr. and Mrs. Steve Leithley, the Leithley family, and the church family of the Bible Baptist Church here in Byesville, and I believe knitted our hearts together. Dr. and Mrs. Leithley are not acquaintances, they're not associates, but they're actual friends. And I'll be quick to tell you, it is always a highlight in my preaching calendar to come in the spring of the year for this spring, thank you, sir, revival meeting. I noticed that Dr. Leithley, his hair is gray. When I first started to come here, neither one of us had gray hair. I was in motel room last week getting ready for a service in, Cincinnati, Ohio, and I looked in the mirror and I said, there's my grandfather staring back at me. And Dr. Leithley, when I started to come, neither one of us had gray hair. I think I've been coming here so long that dinosaurs roamed the earth. The ink was wet on the Constitution, and there's only 60 books of the Bible when I started to come. But I'm excited to be here and elated about what the Lord's going to do in these days that have been set aside for revival. God is in the revival business. I believe that. From the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, I believe that God is in the revival business. And what he's done in the past and on the pages of the Bible, he's interested in doing in the present. I want to encourage you to be back in the service tonight at 7 o'clock, and then Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night for this week-long revival meeting. In this day and hour, there are very few churches, very few, that are still having revival meetings. And then you can whittle it down even more, and there are fewer yet that have a full week-long revival meeting. And so we don't want to miss a single service. I know that Dr. Leithley's been hearing from people, and I've been hearing from people as well that are planning on coming that are not members of the Bible Baptist Church, and we appreciate them, but you know, this is your meeting, and I hope that you'll stand by your meeting and support your meeting. It certainly would be a tragedy if on Monday night we had more visitors than we had members. And so I know that you'll do your part in being in your place and not missing a single service of this week-long revival meeting. I'll make a statement. You'll find it hard to believe. But if the Lord should stay his coming, it'll be like we've just turned around and here it is, Friday night, the last message has been preached, the last invitation has been given, and these services will go down in the annals of time. So that being said, don't miss a single service. They tell me, Dr. Leithley, and I don't know how true it is, but they tell me that I have a photographic memory. They tell me that. And so right now, in my mind, I'm taking a picture of this audience, and if you miss a single service, I'm going to pray that your big screen TV blows up right in the middle of your favorite show. So you won't want to miss. You won't want to miss a single service. I've been blessed by the children that have sung and by the choir that has sung as well. And I promise you in this revival meeting, you're going to hear great congregational and special singing, and you're going to hear old-time Bible preaching. I promise you that, and you will want to be here. Book of Psalms, chapter 102, and I'll take but one verse of Scripture for our text, and it will be verse number 11. Book of Psalms, chapter 102, and verse number 11. And I would invite you to stand with me as I read the Word of God. Now, Dr. Lethley knows this. For all these years that I've been coming and preaching here, I don't often announce what I'm going to preach before I preach it, but I feel strangely impressed to announce that tonight, in the 7 o'clock hour, I'll be preaching on the subject, When the Church Gets a Second Wind. Oh my, you don't want to miss the service tonight. When the church gets a second wind. If I had to choose between this morning and this evening, I wouldn't even come this morning. I would just come this evening. But you're here, so you might as well go ahead and stay. But I'll be preaching on that subject tonight, when the church gets a second wind. Psalm 102 and verse 11. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I'm withered like grass. There are two phrases that make up this verse, and it is the first phrase that I want to focus our heart's attention upon. My days are like a shadow that declineth. And for a few moments, I want to speak to you on the subject this morning, the shadow is getting smaller. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this privilege to stand behind a sacred desk to preach the Word of God. If in my heart I want to be a blessing, but the only way that I can be is if you hide me behind the cross and fill me with the Spirit. Place a hedge around this great church by the blood of Christ to keep the devil and his demons from hindering this service. Save the sinner and stir the saint. Heavenly Father, for all that you'll do in our midst and even in our hearts this morning, we will be careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory. Bless and protect my precious family as I'm away. Give us fresh, warm bread from the oven of heaven to feed from this morning. And Lord, I'd request, oh, how I would request that you'd clothe me in my calling. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And you may be seated. Every person this side of the portal of eternity has a silhouette that is plainly shrinking. With the turning of each calendar page, days are dwindling down for both the sinner and the saint. Wise is the individual that wakes up to the Word of God's inspired warning, life is fleeting and afterlife is forever. The shadow is getting smaller. In the book of Psalms, chapter 102, we find the prayer of the afflicted. Now, if you have any even casual knowledge of the Bible, you know that the book of Psalms is that prayer book, is that praise book of the Bible. It is a book of supplication and, yes, a book of song as well. This chapter could be easily or effortlessly outlined like this. The psalmist's travail, verses 1 through 11, and then the psalmist's testimony, verses 12 through 28. It is well the unknown psalmist is dealing under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit with the psalmist's travail that a person reads a soul-shaking phrase. Verse 11, my days are like a shadow that declineth. That word declineth simply means be gone. Three times, Dr. Leafley, in the span of 28 verses, the psalmist speaks of the shortness of people's sojourn in three separate snapshots. Smoke, verse 3. Grass, verse 4. And then in our text, shadow, verse 11. The sister verse of Psalm 102, 11 is Ecclesiastes 6, 12. And as you've heard me say any number of times, in any number of services, every verse in the Bible has what I call a sister verse. And often that sister verse will throw more light upon the verse that you're musing, meditating, or making a study of. Again, the sister verse of Psalm 102, 11 is Ecclesiastes 6, 12. For who knoweth what is good for a man in his life, all the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? The great preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said about our text, we come and we go. We are here for such a little while that we can scarcely be said to be. For we do not begin to be before we close our being so far as this world is concerned. Never forget, while the rapid days of both the unbeliever and believer are diminishing, this should be, oh my, the red letter day for both to do business with deity. Now, if you miss everything that I preached this morning, I pray that you would not miss that. And it even bears repeating, well, the rapid days of both the unbeliever and believer are diminishing. This should be the red letter day for both to do business with deity. Friend, you and I, the unsaved and the saved, need to know that our shadow is shrinking. Now, quickly this morning, there are several things that every person needs to do, oh my, with their dwindling days. Let's quickly notice it this morning. The shadow is getting smaller. Number one, consider your looming departure. Hebrews 9:22, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. A thing that every person needs to do with their dwindling days is to consider their looming departure. In Hebrews 9:27, the Apostle Paul tells us that every member of the human race has an appointment with death and an appraisement with a thrice holy God. A man, a woman, a boy, or a girl can change their appointment with the doctor, the tax accountant, the personal attorney, the optometrist, the orthodontist, the chiropractor, the barber, the beautician, the banker, or the car salesman, but no one can change their place, a protocol, or plan in the date book of divinity. It was Brother Matthews, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., who once said, every grave in a lonely cemetery is a crack in the heart of the earth that sin has caused. Mark it down in God's appointment book. Nobody changes the hour, minute, or even second that they run head on with the funeral director and the forever judge of time and eternity. This was no doubt the truth on the heart of the hymn writer when he wrote, why not come to Jesus now? You have wandered far away. Do not risk another day. Do not turn from God your face. But today, accept his grace.
Why not now? Friend, you and I, the lost and the saved, because of our shrinking shadow, need to consider our looming departure. The Bible says in Revelation 20 and 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Every sinner that stands at the great judgment bar of God somewhere out in eternity will be shocked to be there and surprised that they arrive so soon. You see, every one of us have a shadow, and that shadow is shrinking. Our days are dwindling. Our shadow is getting smaller. And because of a shrinking shadow, we need to there consider our looming departure. A marshal in Napoleon's army, a man who was devotedly and enthusiastically attached to him, was mortally wounded in battle. As the last struggle drew near and he lay dying in his tent, he sent for his chief. Napoleon came. The poor man thought his emperor could do anything. Perhaps he even sought to put him in the place of God. So he earnestly pleaded with his leader to save his life. The emperor sadly shook his head and turned away. But as the dying man felt, oh my, the cold, merciless hand of death drawing him tirelessly, or irresistibly rather, behind the curtain of the unseen world, he was still heard to shriek out, "Save me, Napoleon, save me." In the hour of death, that soldier discovered that not even the powerful Napoleon could give him physical life. And so shall it be with every lost sinner that didn't give thought to their shrinking shadow, be stunned at the end and shout for everyone and everything but the captain of salvation, who is the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Consider your looming departure. Number two, and I know I'm going to get stuck here, cease your ludicrous discrepancies. Ephesians 4:26, and be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. A thing that every person needs to do with their dwindling days is cease their ludicrous discrepancies. In Ephesians 4:26, the Apostle Paul tells us that there's some things to stay mad about and some things to only stay mad about till the sun pulls the blanket of darkness over its head and says good night to the world. Can I go ahead and preach this morning? More beautiful marriages, real friendships, and great churches have been blown to smithereens because of the 100% disobedience of this single scripture. You see, our days are dwindling. Our shadow is getting smaller. And what we need to do is there cease our ludicrous discrepancies. Boy, I'm preaching to some this morning that you have drug from 2024 into 2025, some things that you should have left in 1978. Hey, this is a new year. I realize we're 3 months into a new year, but this is a new year. And there's some things that should be left in 2024. Say amen right there. And there's some things that should be left in 1978. And what we ought to do, because our days are dwindling, because our silhouette is getting smaller, our shadow is shrinking, is there cease, cease our ludicrous discrepancies. Now, friend, if it's not going to matter 10 billion years from now, why in the world would you let it bother you now? Hello? said that the other night at a conference. Mrs. Leakley, hello. And a lady in the back row said goodbye and got up and walked out. Couldn't believe Mrs. Hamlin did that to me. I could not believe it. But friend, you and I, the lost and the saved, because of our shrinking shadow, need to cease our ludicrous discrepancies. Now, there are three biblical things that will help the believer get beyond their trivial bothers. And again, let me circle the field and bust the tower one more time. If it's not going to matter in eternity, why in the world would you and I let it bother us today? And so there are several just biblical things that will help the believer get beyond their trivial bother. First of all, stay in your lane. Hebrews 12:1, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You see, a biblical thing that will help the believer get beyond their trivial bothers is stay in your lane. If you're running your own race, then that doesn't even leave you 5 minutes in a day to try to run somebody else's race. Now, I have great confidence in Dr. Leafley. He's one of my dearest friends, and what I appreciate about him, a myriad of things, but what I appreciate is the fact that because of the busyness of serving the Lord, he's busy, I'm somewhat busy, we just pick up where we last left off, and every time we get together, it's like a family reunion. In fact, he treats me so much like family. When I asked if I could sit next to him a moment ago, he said no. That's family. But I appreciate the fact that we just pick up where we last left off. Now listen, I have great respect. I have great regard for him. But I don't have time to run my race and run his too. And he doesn't have time to run his race and run mine too. And what will help us, this is better than you're letting on, what will help us get beyond, it's biblical, our trivial bothers is stay in your own lane. Back in January, I was in Candor, North Carolina. It was a Saturday night. It was about 10:30, and I was getting ready to start a revival meeting in the morning, and my cell phone went off. I'd gotten a text. And so I looked at the text, and the text was from a young preacher, and I read the text, and as I read it, I thought to myself, now mind you, this is Saturday night. This is a 10:30 at night. I'm going to start a revival meeting in the morning. I get this text, I'm reading it, and I'm thinking to myself, this has nothing to do with me. And then I read it one more time, and I thought, this has nothing to do with him. And then I read it, neighbor, one more time, and said to myself, this not only has nothing to do with me and nothing to do with him, it has nothing to do with both of us. So I text back, two words, call me. Now, you want to see a side of me that not many see, and those that do survive, then try to push me out of my lane. Try to involve me in things that are none of my business, that I'm not to be involved in, and you'll get to see a side that not many see and survive. Listen, friend, it would help every, say amen right there, it would help every single one of us if we just decided and determined that you know what we're going to do? We're going to stay in our lane. Number two, some things eternity fixes. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. A biblical thing that will help the believer get beyond their trivial bothers is some things that eternity fixes. Don't fret. The books are going to be balanced. Now, they may not be balanced today, and they may not be balanced tomorrow, and oh my, and they may not be balanced this month or next month or this year or next year. There are some things that only eternity fixes. Oh, listen, this will help us get beyond our trivial bother. And then thirdly, stop talking about it. Proverbs 17:1, better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith, or a biblical thing that will help the believer get beyond their trivial bothers is stop talking about it. You'll enjoy your next meal if you don't have appetizer, main course, and dessert of all that bugged you in the last 31 days. And by the way, and others with you will enjoy their meal too. We give things life and legs by just talking about it. There are some things that would still be in a cemetery, but we every once in a while dig that soul up and pry open that coffin and bring out things that should have died and deceased a long time ago. And we let things live, and we give legs to things that would have never lived and never would still be walking around by talking about it and talking about it and talk. You say, well, I don't talk about it. No, you put it all over social media. And all God's sweet little children said, they said, ouch, that's what they said. Oh, that every single individual that is in this service and watching by way of the internet would realize that the biblical things that will help us get beyond our trivial bother is stay in your lane. Some things eternity fixes, and stop talking about it. Years ago, Dr. Leithley, I was preaching in Rossville, Georgia. I was at the Victory Baptist Church, and one night, one of my heroes came to hear me preach, Dr. Sammy Allen. And during the part of the service where preachers introduced themselves, the pastor had said, now, if you're a pastor, an evangelist, a missionary, we want you to stand and introduce yourself. And that night, there were about 35 or 40 preachers that stood. I'll never forget it. And Dr. Allen was there, and he stood, and this is what he said. He must not have heard the moderator. He must not have heard the pastor, because instead of introducing himself, and everybody knew who he was, but this is what he said: if I have a problem with you, I'll talk to you. I'll talk to the Lord, or I'll study to be quiet. And sat down. Friend, hear me and hear me well. That simple truth would certainly stop a whole lot of foolishness and a whole lot of unnecessary nonsense, wicked foolishness that sometimes goes on down at the house of God. Hey, our shadow is shrinking. Our days are dwindling. Our silhouette is getting smaller. Cease our ludicrous discrepancies. Number three, calculate your lasting dividends. Matthew 6:20, but lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. A thing that every person needs to do with their dwindling days is calculate their lasting dividends. In Matthew 6:20, the Apostle Matthew tells us that the lovely Lord Jesus Christ made it plain that an individual can be a millionaire on earth, oh my, and a panhandler in eternity. This just in, what we deposit as believers in glory's bank will be safe from ruthless thieves and ravages of time. But that's not the case for what we deposit in this globe's bank. Selah, muse on that for a moment. Friend, you and I, the lost and the saved, because of our shrinking shadow, need to calculate our lasting dividends. Dr. George W. Truett was entertained on one occasion in the home of a wealthy oil man in Texas. After the dinner, the man took him up to the roof of his home and indicated huge fields of oil derelicts and said, Dr. Truett, that's all mine. I came to this country 25 years ago penniless, and now everything as far as you can see in that direction. he then did the same thing with all the points of a compass and set of vast fields of grain, huge herds of cattle, and great virgin forest, sharing and stating each and every time, it's all mine. 25 years ago, I was penniless. I owned everything as far as you can see in every direction. He paused for the expected praise, but to his astonishment, it didn't come. Dr. Truett there laid a loving hand on his shoulder, pointed upward in that direction, and said, "How much, sir, do you own when it comes to heaven?" The wealthy oil man dropped his head in shame and said, "I never thought of that." Right now, believer, is the Holy Ghost pointing towards heaven and whispering in your heart, "How much do you own? How much do you own? How much do you own?" In that direction, you see, our shadow is getting smaller. Our days are dwindling. Our silhouette is shrinking. And because of it, we need to calculate our lasting dividends. And then number four, and last of all, my time is gone. Not only number one, consider your looming departure. Do you realize that the shoelaces that you tied this morning, the undertaker may untie tonight? Evangelist Lester Roloff used to put it like this, it just might be that the gas is in the gas tank of the hearse that will carry your corpse out to the cemetery. You say, "Preacher, that scares me." Then you need to get saved. You say, "Preacher, that startles me." Then you need to get right with God. Consider your looming departure. Cease your ludicrous discrepancies. Cease your ludicrous discrepancies. I'm stuck. Cease your ludicrous discrepancies. Calculate your lasting dividends. And number four, and last of all, consecrate your left days. Psalm 39:4, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. A thing that every person needs to do with their dwindling days is consecrate your left days. In Psalm 39:4, the psalmist David tells us that he asked God how much time he had remaining that he could reach, oh my, his maximum spiritual potential. An individual may have on their lips right now the burning inquiry, but what does it mean for the child of God to consecrate their left days? Biblically and basically, the answer to that astute question is making sure you're in church every time the door squeaks. In the Bible, daily. In the prayer closet, with every calendar page, in the effort of there bringing someone to the foot of the cross every 24/7, and in the activity of waving the white flag of surrender each and every day. I don't know how much time I have left. You don't know how much time you have left. None of us know how much time we have left. So as the people of God, what we need to do is consecrate, consecrate. What we need to do is consecrate our left days. Hard for me to believe, Dr. Leithley, that from 2005 to 2025, I've been preaching here. And the older I get, the quicker time goes. I remember hearing others say, "Boy, that was a fast year." And I think to myself, it went about as much as every year goes. But now I know exactly what they mean. I don't know about you, but we're in March. To me, this ought to be January 7th. Not a day in March. But it just goes to prove that all of our days are like the spokes of a spinning wheel. The Bible says we have a shadow, and if we could measure the shadow at the start of the sermon and measure the shadow at the stop of the sermon, though it might be millimeters, it still would be a small mite. It still would be every one of us still would have at the close of this service a smaller shadow. Friend, you and I, the saved and the lost, because of our shrinking shadow, need to consecrate our left days. The Bible says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Hang on to your pew. Every vacant slot of service in every local church would be more than filled, even completely, with substitutes if only half of the Christians in any given service put themselves, oh my, along with their offering envelope in the offering plate. Now, I would contend that our offering plates aren't big enough. I would say they need to be big enough to put a person in. And if we started not just putting an envelope in the offering plate, but ourselves as well, oh, I promise you, there would not be a vacant slot of service in any single fundamental church across the country. We even have substitutes as well. Look back at the text, Psalm 102:11, my days are like a shadow that declineth. My days are like a shadow that declineth. Psalm 102:11, my days are like a shadow that declineth. Hey, what that means is the shadow is getting smaller. Our days are dwindling. The silhouette is getting smaller. In 1872, I'm closing with this, David Livingston, the great missionary, wrote on March 19th in his personal diary, my birthday. Now I've got to interject that David Livingston and I share a birthday. My birthday. It happened to me, Dr. Leithley, his 59th birthday. My Jesus, my King, my life, my all. I again dedicate my whole self to thee, accept me, and grant, O gracious Father, that ere this year is gone, I may finish my work. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. And then on May 1st, 1873, a year and just a handful of months later, they found him, oh my, in his hut, kneeling at his bedside with his head buried in his hands upon the pillow. He died in the act of prayer in Zimbabwe, Africa. On David Livingston's memorial in Westminster Abbey, where they have buried kings and queens and prime ministers of the stature of Winston Churchill, on David Livingston's memorial are the words, for 30 years his life was spent in unwearied effort to evangelize the native races. See, I don't know how much time I have left, and neither do you. And we don't have time to waste. We don't have days to just not make count. And we don't have time to not make it really matter. As believers, we don't, because we just don't know when we're going to draw that last breath. And we just don't know when our heart's going to meet that last time. And we just don't know when our shadow will absolutely, as far as this world is concerned, be spent. I want my life to count. I want my life to matter. I'm looking forward in preaching tonight, but I may not preach tonight. I'm looking forward in preaching Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night. And I've prayed before I ever got to Miseville, Ohio, about the messages and about this meeting. And I believe God's put some things on my heart that He wants me to preach. And I'll tell you what, I'm excited about it. But friend, listen, hey, I may not get to the pulpit tonight. I may not make the pulpit tomorrow night. Hey, you may not make that pew tonight or tomorrow night. We've got to calculate our left days and make them count for Christ. The shadow is getting smaller. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.